Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We are live over on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter/X, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later on Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice.
You know, guys, I'm sorry to jump in, Alex, but like, feel like I haven't seen you guys or really hung out with you in so long. You know what, Jerry? Yeah, we'll catch you another time. Get out of here.
Get out of here, Jerry. Up. Nobody wants you.
Catch up like friends.
Hey, don't talk to the Dukes like that.
No. So we were supposed to have... Let me just specify for people who aren't familiar with the continuity of Comic Book Club. We were supposed to have Jerry Dugan on the show. He will be on the show in March. We've rebooked the date. But he was feeling very under the weather. I believe he got something called... The Aquaman 2 is now on Max Flu, and he's just
gone. Oh, you're just staying home, watching it on repeat.
Talk about a pandemic. It's very contagious.
Yes. No, but seriously, he's under the weather, so we hope he feels better soon, and we will have him back on the show in March, so stay tuned for that. But it's just going to be the three of us tonight doing the show, just hanging out as friends, and we thought... Since it is going to be the three of us.
I'd like to get back to what Justin was talking about. Justin, how are you, man? Are you all right?
We're catching up on here. Hey, everything's great. No notes. No crises happening outside of this. There are beautiful rectangles right here.
Really?
Nothing. Huh? Yeah, no, good, very good. Except for the crumbling entertainment.
Just before literally everybody was watching tunes out, I do want to get into that. We are going to do something
lose
tonight,
our audience.
And I think this is fun. I'm excited about this. We're going to flip the script a little bit on our show. Usually at the end, we do one of our most pristine,
cherished
sections, which is trivia, hosted by Pete and Paige. Usually the whole show is built into that. You know, like that's the mountain of it. We were like, wow, the this pinnacle. Is going really smoothly, and this part is going even smoother. So we decided, why not make that the main feature of the show and let Pete run trivia for the
It's a super trivia contest where you two will be going head-to-head, versus nerd, on who has the most comic book knowledge. I have picked questions from all over the nerdverse.
Elijah Dushku.
Don't save it.
With a tribute to the late Elijah Dushku.
Oh, right? There's going to be a tribute. News.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Great. So we're going to answer questions. This is like a spinoff. This is like when they, in a sitcom, and they're like, hey, this episode is only about Frasier. This is a very Frasier episode.
I mean, that was a very popular. That was a popular sitcom for a very long time. It just got a reboot. So
here's the thing. What happens. Are you telling me we're about to become a trivia show or I fight you and Pete's in charge?
Yeah, this is great.
I don't know if this is, we're playing with literal dynamite right here.
I'm pulling for Justin to win it all, but I've picked questions that also, you know, there's a couple stuff that I know Alex has knowledge of, and then there's some stuff for Justin. It'll be interesting.
This is going
to
be
all right.
Good.
And I will say the other thing is that we will get to your Q&A. After the trivia section.
Extra long Q&A.
Yes. So you have plenty of time to think about questions and maybe answers as well, honestly. I think that's how it works.
A couple quick comments to highlight. First off, Nat Towson, I'm not drunk enough for this.
Yeah, that's the one.
Don't spend any time. Bring that up, then get it out of here.
Get it out. We don't need that.
It was fine. I was trying to put it up at the same time Justin was, closing it.
You kept closing it on me. I got you. Look at us. We're all fighting for the stick already. And of course, we have, is trivia going to follow the snake draft method, which Michael Tillman shouts. That's very funny.
Yeah.
From our draft episode where the snake draft is not something.
Can I mention, by the way,
Alex's brain works with?
Okay, I just want to mention something about this since this came up. So we did this X-Men draft episode a couple of weeks back. Very fun. Had a great time doing it.
Did you?
Nobody in the history of the world, as far as I'm aware, has done any sort of draft for fantasy characters, like some sort of fantasy sports type thing before. Yeah. And suddenly, this week, David Harper, that dude from Sketched, also did a podcast with an X-Men draft.
Wow, are you calling out a
straight up ripping us off? I can't believe this.
No, they actually, disgusting. I don't know if you read the information. They did a draft on like the upcoming books and creative teams.
So well, I had that idea and we didn't do it, but that's mentioned that idea.
That's good. Are we taking bets?
Yeah, Derek you should Manhart. Be betting on who you think is going to win. I'm hoping Cornell's going down. Down. Cornell's going down.
At the beginning of Jeopardy, does Alex Trebek sometimes...
Alex Trebek's like, man, I hope you lose today.
And it's particularly scary because he died several years ago.
Oh,
rest well, his skeleton is pointing behind Ken Jennings at the loser each day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that show's gotten really scary. So what are we doing, Pete? Is this your regular trivia? Is this a different sort of trivia?
It's kindly? Similar.
How are the hints going to go?
There is no hints. There's also one question, which is bonus. And what's nice is, you know, sometimes the C answers relate to the movie, and sometimes it's just an option. So keeping you on your toes there.
So how's this going to work? Are we buzzing in?
Well, this is what I was thinking. You guys are going to have to yell out answers, and then first person to get it right gets the point.
All right, we don't want to do like an or something.
Yeah, I think we should do a ding.
Okay.
Ding.
Yeah. All right, sure. Which one is it going to be, and or ding ding?
I'll say and Justin will say ding ding.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But then sometimes I'll say and
Alex sometimes I'll ding. Go ding ding.
And sometimes I'll silently go like, come on! I know that one.
Yeah. All right. We'll see how it goes. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes, I guess.
All right.
Can I just ask how many questions are we dealing with?
20.
This is like if a school bus driver, questions? A school bus driver was like, you know what? Let's have one of the kids drive. Why do you drive us to school today? I'm tired.
And I'm that's sure it's happened.
I'm sure it's happened.
All right. Here we go. We ready?
I am ready. I'm ready to talk.
Okay, welcome to the Super Comic Book Trivia Showdown! With a small nod to the legend, Pamela Salem. R.I.P. Moneypenny. Please listen to all three options before making...
Wait, are you going to... I'm sorry, I have to ask in advance. Are you going to work in a clue to a Pamela Salem movie on 20 different questions?
No, he said some of them he won't be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Here we go! Please
listen... Sorry, actually, we do have one item of business. I will mention a little bit of a spoiler here. Brett Macris, a.k.a. Stray Bullet, a.k.a. Stray Bullies, who usually designs our cocktails for the show. He did actually design a cocktail for Jerry Duke, and Nat is asking, we're making the Duke Egg cocktail or saving it for tomorrow. Probably not tomorrow, since we're not having a show tomorrow. But when he's on, we'll drink the cocktail. We'll also mention Brett isn't here, and he's not going to be here for a little bit because his restaurant, Wild South, is opening tonight.
Oh, my God. That is so exciting.
In New Orleans. So exciting.
Go to New Orleans right
now.
What
do you say to a chef?
Greatest food in the world. Yeah, break legs.
Cut off a finger.
Burn your fucking face off, man.
No, man, dude. It's
fall in the oil. Fall in the hot fat.
Fall in the oil. Have you ever been into a restaurant, Alex?
There is an open pits of oil in restaurants.
Not like an Indiana
Alex.
Jones movie. He's not num shuying the meat out of a cow.
All right, here we go. You ready? You nervous?
We have five more items of business, then we can start the quiz.
What celebrity do you think are we tracing the career of over the course of this?
Question number one. What color kryptonite is the most harmful to Superman? Is it A, silver, B, white, or C, Lynn Redgrave?
Ding, ding.
Yes?
White.
Nope.
Ooh. Oh. Silver?
Silver is correct.
Yes.
White only hurts plants. Does not hurt really? Superman. Yes.
It hurts plants.
Plants.
Super plants or regular plants?
Just all matters of the green.
Krypton. When Krypton plants come down, they gain incredible powers.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine finding white kryptonite. And white kryptonite was my nickname in high school.
Oh, wow. That's fun. All right. Here we go.
Wait, are you keeping track of the points? I just want to make sure that.
No
way. Oh, I didn't think so.
Okay, fine.
Fine. I'm keeping track.
I'm keeping track. You got to keep track.
Okay, I'll keep. Hang on, let me get something here.
It's not that hard.
Okay, but well, here's the thing: when somebody guesses, you know, I think that really helps out the next person. So I'm not going to say if you're right or wrong. I'll let the other person guess and then reveal. How about that?
Oh yeah,
that's
okay.
A good idea. So we're all gonna answer all these.
But we're gonna give this one to Justin because even though he was wrong, I don't want him to win. No, Alex gets a point. I'm just kidding.
Right. He's just having fun.
Justin, do better.
I have you, Superman, and your little ficus.
Justin, do better. Focus up. Okay, here we go. What is the name of the comic Green Lantern first appeared in? Was it A, Wiz Comics number 2 in 1940, B, All-American Comics number 16 in 1940, or is it C, Dick Pines?
I'm going to say All-American Comics.
That is correct.
Oh, I thought we were... waiting a second.
Oh yeah, we were.
Wait, we're waiting a second?
Well, no, we're gonna let Justin answer. Then I say who got it right. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess it doesn't matter because then I would have to pick the opposite one.
Yeah, right. Oh well, this is not how quizzes work.
Yeah, you don't just give everybody a chance with two answers.
Where were you a second ago when Pete decided?
All right. Justin, I don't know if you got to chug your beer or do something, buddy, because you're getting smoked right now. All right,
it's just 2-0.
All right, here we go. Question number 3. What is the name of Black Panther's sister? Is it A, Nakia, B, Shuri, or C, Okoye?
Dinging.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know who got the ding first there.
Oh, well, we got to check the internet speeds.
Yeah, I'm going to tie goes to Justin. Tie goes to Justin because
I'm going to go with B, Shuri.
Okay.
Are you sure about that?
You are correct, sir. All right. Justin's on the board.
Derek said it was me.
So. It was you.
Jeez.
What are you doing here, Pete?
I'm trying to make it fun. All right. Here we go. Question number 4.
This is not. Right.
Who was the first villain Spider-Man ever faced in the comics? Was it A, the Chameleon, B, the Green Goblin, or C, the Vulture?
Ding, ding.
Yes.
E, Vulture.
Ant.
Ant. Chameleon?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Chameleon.
Come on, man.
I said it.
Come on.
I've
In the first issue?
No.
In Amazing Fantasy?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's the first villain.
First super villain.
Yep.
All right.
All right, here we go. Question number 5. What comic book character has been on X-Force, New Mutants, Hellions, and the Quiet Council? Is it A, Magneto, B, Cypher, or C, Jack Plotnick? Yes.
Cypher.
You are correct.
That's a softball.
That was a softball.
It was the Hellions that did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at first I was like, okay, probably Magneto. But if you're talking about Hellions, you got to go.
Yeah,
you know,
Magneto's not on Hellions.
Yeah, he's not.
All right, here we go. Question number 6.
Most of the time.
Here we go. Justin, this is, I gave Alex one in his realm of knowledge.
4-1.
Yeah, the score is, I think I've won.
4-1.
So it's
4-1. There's 20 questions. Don't get cocky. Here we go.
Oh, I'll get cocky.
Here we go, Justin. This one's for you. How many issues?
You know, they used to call me White Kryptonite in high school.
You got to take a point from him.
How many issues in the Bone series? Is it A, 50, B, 55, or C, 45? Yes.
I'm going to say 45.
Justin?
Oh. Ding, ding, 55.
You are correct. Yes, 55. Finally. All right, here we go. Come on, let's make this fun. All right, here we go. Question number 7. Which one of these names is an actual comic book character? Is it A, Hypno Hustler, B, Scareglow, or ding, ding. C, The Unseen Vegan Dream? Yes?
You can buzz in the middle.
Oh, you can buzz in the middle? I thought we had to wait until the end.
Jeopardy. I don't know. Pete's in charge.
Yeah, that's, you know, I did say please wait for all three, you know, in case there was a joke in there that people might enjoy.
Pete, take a point away from me.
No.
Can we interrupt this for a question from Facebook?
Let's just decide who was right or wrong here. Justin, did you say what letter?
A.
You are correct. Hypno Hustler is an actual comic book character.
Yes.
Okay.
You're so offended.
What was the question you wanted to ask?
That's an easy one. Come on. I just wanted to bring this up from Facebook. Alberto Cardenas says, are there going to be any more upcoming X-Men books? Yes, there will be.
Always.
There are going to be nonstop X-Men books. They're going through June. Everything is wrapping up at the Krakoa era, and then we're going to get a new era starting in July. So there you go.
Wow. Alex combining audience questions with trivia.
Yeah, well, save it for the audience questions.
He just wants to have a little bit of control during the trivia.
Yeah,
I'm spitting out. Question number 8.
Myself more drinks.
Yeah, Justin's coming back. It's 3-4. All right, here we go. Question number 8. What is the name of the artist who first drew the Wolverine? What is it? A. John Buscema, B. Herb Trimpe, or C. Owen Masterson?
Ding ding.
Yes.
A.
Incorrect.
B?
Yes. Herb Trimpe is correct. That is my guy.
I thought that was wrong.
John Buscema is a famous comic book artist that I threw in there to throw you off, and you fell for it. Right. Here we go. Question number 9.
He's back on my side now, right, Pete?
Here we go. Question number 9. There
Alex,
is a
you don't need to hold your hand like that. No, I mean when you're holding it's it, like fun. There's a buzzer underneath it.
There
it's
is a landmark in Dover, New Hampshire. For the spot where blank was created, is it A, Lock and Key, B, TMNT, or C, Mark Keeley?
It's TMNT.
That is correct, B.
Yeah, it's a manhole cover, right?
Well, they have like this authentic kind of like, you know, those little like signs that have the, you know, say this is the spot.
But I think they also added a manhole cover.
That is correct.
Do I get bonus points?
Not on that one. There is a bonus coming up. There is a bonus coming up.
And that's worth 5 points, right?
Here we go. Question number 10. What villain made their first appearance in Iron Fist number 14? Is it A, Sabretooth, B, Steel Serpent, or C, The Hand?
Ding, ding.
Stumped. Yes.
This is tough.
Come on, man. Don't overthink it.
I'm going to go with... wait, what were the, could you read the answers again?
Sabretooth, The Iron Serpent, or The Hand?
I'm going to go with C.
Alex?
I'm going to say A.
A, Sabretooth is correct.
Ah!
Yes. Oh, come on, man.
It is a trick question.
I will say, I didn't fully know that, but that was something that like tickled the back of my brain.
Well, you know what? When you said don't overthink it, Pete, I was like, oh, it's not. It's more of a
I realized as soon as I said that, I was like, God damn it, I think I heard him instead of helped him.
You did.
Apologize. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's always nice when the trivia host is on one of the guest sides.
I think so, too. All right, here we go.
But you're winning, Alex. I think it's fueling you.
7-3. Here we go. Comebacks are possible. And this is the one with the bonus. Okay. Question number 11. The company that Eastman and Laird came up with to work on TMNT under has a fun meaning. What is it about? Is it A, a joke because it doesn't exist? B, a joke about the absurdity of corporations? Or C, Todd Babcock?
Ding, ding.
Yes.
I'm going to go with B.
Alex?
I guess I'll say A.
A is correct!
Wow. Wait, so what was A again?
Bonus, can you name the company?
Wait, hold on. What was A again?
It was they didn't have a name.
a joke because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and just
bonus, what is the name of the company?
Mirage Studios.
There it is. Yeah. Oh, and the bonus. Man, he's killing you.
What a complicated thing you're writing down.
Well, I'm doing a little, trying to
you're
keep tally.
You're doing bath, 1+1, et cetera.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to count on your fingers. All right, question number 12. When did Pastebot Pete make his first comic book appearance? Was it A, Fantastic Four, number 27, B, Strange Tales, number 104, or C, Avengers Comic Annual, number 4?
That's a good one.
Yes.
I'm going to say C.
Justin?
I'm going to go with A.
Oh, come on, man!
It's B?
B!
Ooh.
Oh.
I thought the question was going to be
Strange Tales.
That is a strange tale.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Question number 13.
I thought your question was going to be, when did Pastebot Pete start making paste?
Kindergarten, obviously.
I was going to say college.
All right. Oh, college, I can tell everybody wants more Pastebot Pete. Number 13. After the
Alex
form.
Had a question.
No, I was just going to say, I like it when classic villains are introduced in kind of the wrong title, like the Sabretooth or the Pastebot Pete thing. That's fun when it's not. Pastebot Pete, I mean, he's identified with a lot of things, but he's definitely identified with Spider-Man, Sabretooth, obviously with Wolverine. The fact that they were in entirely different places and ultimately found their home somewhere else, it's neat. It's good stuff.
All right, here we go. Speaking of Pastebot Pete, after the formation of what group did Pastebot Pete become the Trapster? Was it A, the Thunderbolts, B, the Frightful Four, or C, the Backstreet Boys? Yes,
Frightful
Alex.
Four.
That is correct.
I knew that one. I thought we were waiting till the end to buzz in, though. No?
What? Which one are we doing?
Well,
which
said
one is
we
it?
Had to wait
till
the
we
end.
Had to wait till the end, yeah.
You have to wait until the end?
Yep.
We haven't been doing that the entire time.
But
we talked about it.
The rules.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, question... I was doing it, and then you're like, don't worry, you can do it, whatever.
Here we go. Question number 14. In DC Comics...
You can't buzz in anymore, Alex.
In DC Comics, who is Drury Walker? Is it A, Man-Bat, B, Killer Croc, or C, Killer Moth?
And ding, ding.
Yes, Justin?
Oh, it was Killer Moth was the C?
Yep. Is that your answer?
I'm going to go with Killer Moth, yeah.
You are correct, sir.
A lot of killers in there.
Yep. Alex, did you know that one?
Yes, I was going to say Killer Moth.
Okay.
I also buzzed in first, but whatever.
Yeah.
He definitely did not buzz in first on that one.
It was close, but yeah. It was close. All right, here we go. Question number 15. The creator of this DC superhero said they first envisioned him as a villain. Who are they talking about? Is it A, Batman, B, The Flash, or C, Superman?
Ding, ding.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Batman.
Interesting. Alex?
I'm going to say The Flash.
Very interesting. It's Superman, you numbnuts. Nobody gets a point.
Mr. Trebek,
and
stop
may
yelling.
God have mercy on your soul.
No points are awarded.
No points awarded. All right, question number 16. Clark,
we got Alberto here again, says, I really enjoyed listening to you guys during work on my Google Podcast app, JK, LOL. Just a thank you so much for tuning this out.
That's a hell of a callback, Alberto.
Just a reminder that at the end of March, Google Podcasts is going away. If you subscribe on Google Podcasts, subscribe literally anywhere else, please. We're available everywhere. So there you go. Take it away, Pete.
It's interesting there's so many Pastebot Pete questions.
Interesting.
What do you talk that up to?
Question number 16. Clark Kent once said he had a collection of blank. Was it A, comic books, B, recordings of commercials, or C, photographs his mom had took?
Could you repeat the question? Alex was confusing me.
What was
pointing.
I doing?
Clark
you
Kent.
Kept pointing,
oh, I was pointing when you said, interesting that you have so many things about Pastebot Pete, and I was pointing at Pete.
Oh. I thought you pointed at the private chat and that my volume was
quit stalling.
No.
I didn't even hear the question.
Clark Kent once said he had a collection of what? Yes, Alex.
I asked her the question to be no, it's repeated.
Fine. Repeat it again. I'll buzz in.
He hasn't said the answers yet.
I have, but I'll say them again. Is it A, comic books, B, recordings of commercials, or C, photographs his mom had took? Yes, ahead, Alex.
Comic books?
Justin?
It was recordings, was B?
That is correct.
And it was recordings, yeah.
It's recordings of his favorite commercials.
What a weirdo.
He
is a villain. He's a villain.
He's a villain.
It They're right.
Happens. All right, here we go.
I know. He's always throwing around his anti-plant kryptonite. Get out of here, guy. Why do you hate
Question
plants?
Number 17. What villain was supposed to be a pregnant woman? Was it A, Venom, B, Ultron, or C, Galactus?
Ding, ding.
Yes, Justin?
Oh, man.
It's supposed to be a pregnant woman.
That's a crazy wording of this question, let me say.
Well,
I'm going to go with C.
Or you could rethink it and come up with a different answer.
Oh, Alex.
A.
A is correct, Venom.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, because they said originally she was pregnant and then got the symbiote, and then the baby was a part of it. They wanted to kind of have like this.
Who wanted that? That was going to be the original story?
That was the original story, yes.
The crazy part about this trivia is like, I don't think anyone could know that except for wherever you got this source from.
It's common knowledge. I've also brought it up on other trivias. It was kind of my easiest one. Woo! All you gotta do is pay attention. All right, here we go. Number 18.
Pay attention for 17 years.
That's right.
Venom was supposed to be a pregnant woman. I don't
hang on every word.
If you said the words, "Hey guys, Venom was supposed to be a pregnant woman," I'd be like, "Sorry, Pete, could you say that one more time?"
Well, I've said it before, and it went right past you.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say that was a much better idea. They should have gone with that for Venom.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right.
Or at least Carnage.
I can't believe you fell for Galactus. All right, here we go. Number 18.
Well, makes sense with sort of like larger celestial ideas, like pregnant
exactly.
Woman.
Like, yeah, that's why I put it like, in oh my God, I'm totally craving a planet right now.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, my wife, when my wife was pregnant with our children, she
I think
was
maybe
trying
give
to
up
eat
on
any,
this
any
idea, planet. Justin, and walk away before you get in your trouble.
What trouble am I getting in? This show isn't about winning. It's about talking about this stuff, not trouble. Rushing through the dream.
All right, here we go. Number 18. Who is called the God Mutant? Is it A, Magneto, B, the Legion, or C, Professor X?
Ding, ding.
Yes, Justin.
I'm going to go with B, Legion.
That is correct.
That one, I knew.
You got one. Here we go. Number 19. According to Wikipedia, the original New Mutants was Sunspot, Wolfsbane, Mirage, Cannonball, and Blank. Is it A, Magic, B, Karma, or C, Warlock? Yes, Alex?
Karma?
You are correct, sir.
I will say, Pete, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That was, except for the part where you said according to Wikipedia.
Well, in case you guys like lost your minds, I wanted to have a source. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's not a great source, but I understand what you're saying.
Yep.
It's the ultimate source.
All right. Here we go.
That's like saying according to someone I heard talking about it on the bus.
It is. I could have said that. Seems less legit, though. Here we go. Last one. This one's for you, JT says.
Is this worth however many points I'm behind?
Let's tally it up. Justin's got
six. You can tell
six.
It. No. Don't reveal it yet. Don't reveal it yet. Let's do this last question.
Then I know how many you have, though. I figured it out.
Okay.
Don't tell the audience.
All right, here we go. Wonder Man first appeared in The Avengers number 9 in 1964, created by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, and blank. Is it A, Don Heck, B, Dick Ayers, or is it C, Kent George? Yes, Alex.
I'm going to say Don Heck.
You are correct.
Wow.
Justin, did a piece of you die right there?
Definitely not.
No.
Tell me about Don Heck, besides the fact we just learned about him. Tell me more about Don Heck.
Who are you asking?
Anyone. Wikipedia.
Literally anybody. No. Well, I do know he was one of the inventors of Wonder Man, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Claim to fame.
And my source for that is Wikipedia.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, how many comic book characters did you create?
Wikipedia. I'm not shit-talking Don Heck.
Okay,
I'm
all
just right. saying, you said, did something in me die? And I was like, because I didn't know Don Heck?
Well, Wonder Man is your guy. You know what I mean? I didn't want to make it easy, but...
Definitely. But I will say, I mean, part of... when I was a kid, I didn't really look... I didn't know the writers and artists were such a part. Like, it was never part of my consumption of it. I was like, what's happening in this? So and also I wasn't alive then. For a second part of that answer. But I will say, like, it only later, especially when we started doing this show, was I much more tuned in to, like, following careers of people. And before, I was very much like, this is cool. I see Wonder Man 8, he's auditioning, and they had a special sideways issue where it was all, you got to see the sort of widescreen version of the comic. And that's all programmed in my brain, just not the, you know,
the heck of it all.
The heck. What the heck is what I was
saying. Great name, Don Heck.
Yeah. Pete, is that the last question?
That was number 20.
All right. Are you going to tally up the scores?
Yeah.
Did you already tally up the scores?
Yeah. It's the same as what it was. Justin is six right, and then Alex has the other.
13.
Other how many?
13.
How many points, Pete?
Wow, Alex really wants to rub this into Pete, weirdly. He's rubbing it into Pete. The host.
He was trying to take me down for some reason.
Yeah, Pete, I've never done that before.
Are you
going to
do...
You're never going to.
Wow. Are you doing another trivia later in the show as well?
No, that's it.
Yeah. Nice. Well, there we go. I guess I won trivia, and we were texting about this earlier. I actually texted... The winner has to eat a comic. What I meant was the loser has to eat a comic. No, but I guess we can decide. Do I need to eat a comic or do you need to eat a comic?
Nobody eats comics. That's not what we're about. We should donate to charity.
I'll find my favorite comic. And in front of you, Pete, I'll rip it up into tiny little pieces and I'll eat it.
Not your favorite. You need to rip up and eat your most pornographic comic.
Oh, God.
So you got a lot of contenders.
That is the same.
Billy Coyle has the right idea. Pete must eat the comic.
No.
Yeah, Pete, you have a whole stack of comics behind
you. I don't
choose what
comics.
You want to eat.
I adore them and worship them.
Yeah. This was, I guess, me against you, so you lost. So there you go.
Yeah, Pete really lost. Because he backed the wrong horse.
I sure did.
I guess what I've won here is bragging rights more than anything. Great trivia, Pete. Really good, honestly. Very fun. Thank you for doing that. And I'm going to treat myself to a bunch of Long John Silvers, I think, for winning. I'm very excited.
Come on, man. Donate it to charity.
That's not treating yourself. It's definitely
donate it to charity.
Right. You're right. I'll give Long John Silvers to charity. You're absolutely right, Pete.
Go and get Long John Silvers and then give it to charity. She'll appreciate it.
No, we're good. Thanks so much.
Charity a person?
Yeah. You don't know somebody named Charity?
Yeah. I'll find somebody named Charity and I'll give them Long John Silvers. Here's your fish sandwiches, lady. All right. Why don't we move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
We did it.
And for audience questions, all you got to just drew it.
The wind's gone to his head. He can't even host.
Just drop a question. In Facebook, YouTube, X/Twitter, or
Pip
Twitch.
Pip, don't slip!
Pip on the podcast.
Pip, don't slip!
Justin's adorable dog.
Oh, my God. Look at Pip. God. Hasn't aged a day. Oh, my God. Look at that amazing dog.
Beautiful. What a beautiful animal.
Oh, man.
Did you guys watch The Daily Show yesterday?
No.
Yesterday's episode? Jon Stewart had a tribute.
Oh, yeah, about his dog.
And,
yeah.
Oh, man. If you want to have.
Dude, he lost
a cry. Yeah, it was wild.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. Anyway.
Pete, what was the secret movie you were referring to in the quiz? We never
Let me just pull that up here. It's the 1998 movie Gods and Monsters.
Oh, fitting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Chapter one. What are you guys drinking tonight? What's going on?
You guys will never guess what I'm drinking.
Knock, knock, who's there? Landshark?
That's right.
Excellent. I am drinking a...
Alex, it's one of your favorite SNL bits, right?
I love it. Yeah. Oh, my God. So funny. I am dying even thinking about it.
Me too. Me too. Yes.
I'm drinking a pseudo Negroni with some gin, Punta Mez, and nice. I want to say Gran Turismo. It's not Gran Turismo.
Oh, you're talking about Clint Eastwood's movie, Gran Turismo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yum.
The one.
Yeah, a little
like,
bitter, very bitter, I would argue. Maybe too bitter.
Is that Gran Turismo as well?
Isn't that the one where...
Yeah, that's he's Gran like... Torino.
Gran Torino.
Gran Turismo is the racing the
video
movie.
Game.
Yeah. Oh, the racing. The video game racing movie, yes. Yes. Gran Torino is the one where he's on the porch and people drive by.
He worked in the factory and he built
and he
all
pulls
these...
out a finger gun and points it at him and then puts it back in his coat.
Yeah, yeah. Sun's in that movie.
Well, anyway, I'm drinking something. What are you drinking, Justin?
I'm drinking a white Negroni because I'm white kryptonite. And this is gin, dry vermouth, and Unforgiven. The Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, I got it.
Okay. Got you. No, and Suze, the gentian root beverage, liqueur, which, little trivia for you about soda, the soda Moxie from Maine has the same root. So if you like that soda, get yourself some Suze.
Oh, yeah, nice. Moxie's a famous kind of, yeah.
All right, we've got a couple of questions here already. This is from Derek Mainhart. Who is the first comic book creator you took notice of?
Eastman and Laird, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Great question. And right from the jump, you were like, I know these names.
Eastman. Well, it was just because I was reading Spider-Man and Captain America, and I didn't care about names. And then I got to the comic book shop and was kind of like, I want to pick out my own thing. Because before, it was just like, I got at Wegmans, there was a spinner rack. And if I helped my mom with the groceries, I would get to pick a comic. So it was always kind of like quick and under pressure. So in the comic book shop, I got to kind of look around on myself. And I just noticed that Eastman and Laird put their names big. Mm-hmm. And then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were also big kind of lettering. And yeah, for some reason, I was just like, that was the first thing you kind of saw. So it really kind of stuck with me. It became a whole thing.
I want to say Chris Claremont, but I don't think that's actually true. I think it was actually Mark Silvestri was the one that I noticed first, because obviously I was like in love with X-Men and everything that was going on in the X-Men side of the universe. But the thing that really popped for me was the art on that run and that time period. Yeah. And I loved what Mark Silvestri was doing on that book so much. That was like, you know, we've had a couple of guests, I think, over the past couple of weeks who've talked about that moment where you just, your mind was blown by art for the first time and you really noticed it. And for me, that was Mark Silvestri on the X-Men.
I guess just probably Tom King, just really recently understanding the different names. Well, I'm just kidding. I was actually going to say Chris Claremont, the issue when Black Widow, Wolverine and Captain America were together. I was like, what? How did this? Who decided this? This is crazy.
Yeah.
But it's sort of similar to your answer. I'm like, I can't tell if I'm retroactively dropping that memory into my brain. But I would definitely say that Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man covers, yeah. I was like, what is this? This feels like it's in my mind already.
Yeah, it was one of those things where when Todd was on something, I knew it. You know what I mean? Before I saw the name, the art style like kind of spoke out in such a way where I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I think the first time at a Comic-Con when I was like walking around Artist Alley and I was kind of looking at names and kind of looking at faces. And then I remember stopping in my tracks and being like, just like yelling out loud and pointing at the guy going, Herb Trippy? And he kind of looked up and I was like, you're Herb Trippy? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, Wolverine, Hulk, oh my God, you're the greatest. And, you know, it was like such a fun realization kind of in the moment, you know? Yeah,
it's also funny, speaking about meeting creators at Comic-Cons, I feel like there's such a revelation like, oh, these people are very regular people for the most part. They're like, oh yeah, we're equally excited to have this interaction in some ways.
Yeah. Not to jump back to what you were saying, Justin, but I think Todd McFarlane is such a good call because I so specifically remember him transforming Amazing Spider-Man to the point that, you know, that iconic Amazing Spider-Man 300 cover, just that is stuck in my brain. That was a point when I was like, oh, this is Todd McFarlane is doing this. This is his Spider-Man. And then, of course, there was Spider-Man number one that destroyed the collector's market. But that was so big. My brother, who cared less about comics and continues to care less about comics, was like, should I buy an issue to keep for later? And I was like, absolutely. It's going to be worth so much money. And he went down and bought one. And that was just such a sensation, all based on Todd McFarlane very specifically is doing Spider-Man number one. So...
And he's planning on retiring on the profits from that comic, right?
Oh, man, he should be.
My brother.
Because of your advice. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I think Todd McFarlane did retire on the profits from that comic. I mean, your brother.
Nat Towson says, what are the current best resources for people looking to make or break into comics? Not like understanding comics, more like podcasts, Substack, etc.
Alex, I know you have a great answer for this. I bet you do, because you turned me on to something recently that I was very excited about. But my answer would be like, I think listening to this, our podcast, not to be self-referential, I feel like we ask a lot of creators questions about that specifically, especially when we talk to people who are like running a campaign on Zoop or something like that. I think there's a lot of the creators want to talk about it. So like just hearing them talk about their story, I think you can pick up a lot of those details.
Yeah, I think the thing you were probably teeing me up for is, in general, I've gotten very into, this sounds so stupid to say out loud, but I've gotten very into newsletters or specific newsletters and following them. And some of them are better than others, but the two that I call out in particular that I think are great, the first one that I'll mention is Tom Brevoort's newsletter is great because he's been in this business for decades at this point. And
he's the Elder Statesman.
Yeah, he's the Elder Statesman, and the tone that comes through, is, which is very much the tone when you talk to him, where he's like, yeah, I've been doing this forever. I'll talk about whatever. It's fine. And so it's very honest. It's very plain-spoken. It's mostly a lot of questions from people that he sends in. Some are comic creators. Some are journalists asking him questions. Some are just regular people writing it. And he always gives honest answers to the best of his ability, and a lot of them are about how comics are crafted. He also goes back in time and he's like, 25 years ago, I was working on this comic and here's how I vaguely remember we put it together. So that's very cool. But the one that you were pointing out and teeing me up for was Scott Snyder's newsletter, which is phenomenal. It is, if you've ever experienced Scott Snyder talking, and we've interviewed him many, many times, he is always so thoughtful and explanatory about everything. He started teaching classes about crafting comic books. And there's a free version of his newsletter where he puts out a lot of this advice. And then a bunch of it is behind a paywall. He puts videos up where he teaches classes and other things that is great. But if you want to just get a sense of it, every single time he sends something out and it's once a week, I'm like, oh, this is legitimately an actual masterclass in making comics. It's great.
Also, just a little bit of speaking of taking classes, that stuff. Former Boothman Prime, Anthony Marquez, has a comic book shop called Dewey Comics. And now in the back of it, it's part museum where you can see like old drawing boards and stuff like that. But they have classes for kids and adults about making comics, getting better at them, and then kind of like what to kind of do from there as well. But I think, you know, the old school is still kind of good for this. And that's like going to cons and bringing your work and talking to people about it and talking to people about their trips and how they got to certain places, but also getting feedback. Yeah, anybody you can kind of just kind of chat up, but also just kind of like looking at other people's Zoops and what they're doing and how they're doing it and that kind of stuff can go a long way. But mainly work on your own thing and put it out put it out, and then just kind of get into a habit of delivering so that when you are talking with people, they see you can meet deadlines and and can be dependable, because that's a huge part of it, is they don't want to take a risk on somebody and then they don't show up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great advice, Pete. Let's move on to another question. Nan Card says, now that Madam Web has come out and bombed, how low are your expectations for the next Sony movie? We talked about this a little bit on our Marvel Vision podcast. We reviewed Madam Web, discussed the future of Sony, but what do you guys think? The next one, of course, is Kraven the Hunter. I guess to frame it up this way, are your expectations for Kraven the Hunter lower after Madam Web, the same, higher? What are you feeling about that?
I'd say lower. I said this on the when we taped, like my expectations are not affected by Madam Web, because
you're excited about Kraven.
I wouldn't say I'm excited, but this
it seems
movie
like you're bumped, dude.
You've got that Kraven fan site.
Yeah.
Kraven for Kraven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's once I got the tattoo, I was like, I got to get this online. It's just pictures of the tattoo so far.
You turned to your tattoo artist and you're like, can I get this online?
Yeah, my wife. I turned over in bed and was like, turn on the gun because I want this tattoo tonight. Turn on the gun.
That's how you know you're in a good marriage, when you can roll over and say, turn on the gun.
Yeah. That was my nickname in high school, the gun. But what I was going to say is the success of Madam Web is like that movie was just like not conceived in a good
way. Wait, can you say success and then the words Madam Web? Can you say that?
I'm not saying it's successful. I'm saying that movie is had a much harder goal in mind. They were like, let's establish a whole new universe. This is our Iron Man of the Sony. The new Sony superhero universe. While Kraven is like, can he kill more people now? Hurt him.
Tune
more.
In and find out.
Yeah. So I think it's an easier movie. So I think it's something that maybe will succeed and will be something cool. It's also a little bit separated from the Spider-Man of it all, that I think, or at least there's a lot of the superhero fatigue. This feels like a movie where a dude just kills people.
We'll see. I hope it is nice and simple like that. I would say my expectations were already pretty low for Kraven. They have not changed after Madam Web. I think, I don't know if that Sony movie universe is going to continue in any form or fashion, but Kraven is going to be what it's going to be.
Well, didn't they announce today that the next Venom movie is a pregnant woman?
It should be.
To appease the real fans.
Juno Temple is in it. Maybe she's pregnant Venom.
Famously pregnant character.
Schreichler says, what comic book character would Clint Eastwood have played either when he was younger or now? The answer is Wolverine. Let's move on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't know if Clint Eastwood was ever younger. Just put that up.
Well, that's a good point. But Wolverine's, the Wolverine number one cover, well, no, that's not Clint Eastwood. That was based on Frank Sinatra. So never mind. My bad. Nice.
Frank Sinatra.
I think little Clint Eastwood could play other. He could play like a Spider-Man who really, like.
I think Clint Eastwood as Dazzler would be awesome. You know what I mean?
Mm. It's going to be him or Taylor. We know it's one of the two of them.
Jonah Hex. I guess.
Oh, yeah. It was right there in front of our scarred faces. And we didn't
Magneto?
Even notice.
Sure. Ooh.
I don't know.
Any grizzled.
Professor
old.
X?
Yeah. Who's old? Who's old?
Uncle Ben.
Dupe. He could be Dupe.
Featuring Clint Eastwood as the voice of Dupe.
$1 billion right there.
Yeah.
This is from Easy Reader. Do you use an app to catalog your comics?
I should.
I do not.
I have a stack of papers over here. Sorry.
You have papers? You write them down? Do you write them down, Pete?
Oh, my God. Pete is, for anybody listening, take it out. Basically like a Unabomber folder.
Yeah. That's like the George Costanza's wallet of comic book records.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's pretty big.
Wait, that's typed pages where it says these are the
handwritten, bro, handwritten.
Why are you doing it like that?
That's a mirror.
Computers
my dad, started it. And so I've just kind of been going off of what he did. But yeah, it's, I kind of rearranged all my comics. It took me 32 days. But I now have I have 47 boxes.
Whew.
And my count is around 7,600 single issues.
Wow.
And so you've never like culled your collection. You've never like gotten rid of any books.
What do you mean? Why would you get rid of?
Well, I did that. I gave away like
same here.
1,000 comics. Or
I sold most of my DC comics when I was younger. And then one Halloween, I gave away all of the comics that I didn't want anymore that I thought I would never read.
Oh my God, I almost did a spit take. Don't make me waste beer. Comics you didn't want anymore. What does that mean?
That means we bought, I don't know if you're aware, Pete, we bought a lot of comics, like a ridiculous amount of comics.
Oh, yeah, I'm not aware, you numbnuts.
That were good, that I was never going to read again. And I was like, you know who would like those kids in the neighborhood?
That's nice.
What do you mean not good?
Well, just comics, not even not good. Things that like were not important to me. And so one Halloween, what I did was I took those several hundred comics, put them outside of my stoop, had a bowl full of candy on the other side.
Yeah, you've told the story numerous times.
Well, not everybody has listened to every podcast. When they came up, I was like, hey, you can have a piece of candy, you're going to have a comic. Everybody took comics.
And Pete, famously, you came in like 9 different costumes and got all of Alex's comics.
Yeah, that's how I got it.
Hello, I am Piotr LePage.
You played a grizzled dupe for Halloween.
Are you, this is from Stanley, are you excited about the Oscars?
Yeah, I like the Oscars. Jimmy Kimmel, good host. Mm-hmm. You know, this Oscars is a bit, feels set in who the winners will be.
You think so?
I do. I have a sort of data-driven answer for you. All of the individual craft award shows have pretty much given this, this recognize the same people in the different categories. So
wait, can I test your knowledge there, Hotshot? Sure. If you can call who's
I'll call all of
Best Picture. Who's winning?
Oppenheimer, 100%.
Okay, is Barbie going to win anything?
Barbie will maybe win down a ways, but in like maybe
who's going to win
costume design?
Best actor.
Best actor, Cillian Murphy.
Really?
Yeah.
He just won the SAG though, didn't he?
That's means he's more likely to win, I think.
I think sometimes they kind of, you know, if they're winning a bunch, they'll go the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What about Best Actress? I threw out a theory to you, and mind you, I'm way off about this stuff, but my theory with the Oscars was everybody thinks it should go to Lily Gladstone, might go to Emma Stone, but I feel like there's a mild chance Annette Bening could pull it off because she's older and she's playing a real person.
Lily Gladstone has been cleaning up, dude. Yeah.
Well, actually, Emma Stone has also been. Vegas has their odds at an even split right now. But I think Lily Gladstone will pull that out. That's the most toss-up of them all.
What about supporting actress? It's going to go to the holdovers. She's unbelievable.
Divine Joy Randolph.
Yeah, 100%. Come on.
She's won. She has not lost in any award ceremony.
I know.
That never happens.
Somebody pointed out, I saw this online, the idea of like, what
have you
awards...
seen that movie?
It's great.
Oh, it's great.
And it's
great.
So good.
It's so good. But what they were pointing out is the idea of like, award season for movies is insane because Divine Joy Randolph has won 57 times. So like, what does that do to you by the time you've got to the Oscars psychologically being like, oh, thank you so much again. Here we go. And I know the Oscars are obviously a different thing.
It's
but
a
like,
different thing.
That's grueling at a certain point. Like you're not, I can't even imagine that you're like, oh, wow, I'm so elated and thank you so much after the 54th win or something.
Well, you've got the Oscars as the sort of the crowning jewel at the end. So you're always building up. But I don't know if you saw Robert Downey Jr.'s speech at the SAG Awards, where you could tell he's like, this one's a fuck around. And next up is the big one. He was clearly like just doing wheelies on his speech up there.
Yeah. Anyway, sounds like we're excited for it. Panico Mundial says, which comics writer would you choose to write your biography?
Oh, wow. This is tough because we have friends. You know, I mean, you hate to scorn one of your buddies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm.
Not my buddy. I would say Ryan North. He's fun. He'd come up with like a
wow. What do you want? This Arctic kind of like, Arctic. Dude, you're like, yeah, he does all those like Northlanders and, you know, like those Viking stuff. That was Ryan North.
No, you're thinking of something else. I'm forgetting his name, but Ryan North is the guy who does Squirrel Girl.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah.
And who is currently doing Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Sorry. Which I was way off.
Yeah. Wait, you are Brian Wood?
Yeah, Brian Wood.
Yeah, no, Brian Wood has been excommunicated from the comic book industry, so I feel like I would not want him to do my biography. Yeah.
Okay. He might be at the bottom of it.
I just saw like Viking stories. I was like, Alex, you're not that guy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But some funny science stuff. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. I just want
notes at the bottom.
And I hope this doesn't actually hold true to my life, but I think Rick Remender would be a great biographer. If you really want to do damage,
you're playing favorites, dude. You're playing buddy favorites. That's your guy.
I'm mostly making a joke. All of his characters suffer almost exclusively in all of his work, and he's the hardest out of his characters in all.
That's true, but you love him.
For you, Herb Trimpe, I'm feeling.
No, I mean, I'm
Sergio Aragonés. It's Sergio Aragonés.
I mean, there's touchy feely, you know. There's a kick in the pants. There's so many, you know. I mean,
we've lost.
I love that you framed this up as like, don't play favorites. People we know. Here's two nicknames that nobody knows unless they've been watching the show religiously for 17 years.
And for those of you that don't know, Tim Seeley is touchy feely, and kick in the pants, Greg Pak.
Greg Pak,
because he was on the show one day and he said it's a real kick in the pants. Honestly, a dozen times.
It was funnier every time he said
it. I thought his brain was broken because he just was like, this is a real kick in the pants. I was like, he just said that. What does that mean? What's he trying to tell us?
Great. Billy Coyle says, have you guys written or worked on any comics of your own? Yes.
Pete,
you want to tee up yours?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't exist anywhere anymore. But yeah, I did a comic called Captain Jones for a little while. It was my...
Tell us about it.
It was my homage to the kind of like Han and Chewie kind of slacker, kind of like slackers in space, basically, where it was just a kind of funny, drunks getting their shit together and then trying to be better people type of thing.
And that was more of a comic strip, right?
That's true.
Very fun. You should have them online somewhere.
Yeah, you should. Post them up. I'd love to read them. I did a couple of books from Marvel. I did a 4-issue series called Thor and the Warriors 4. I did a
Power Pack.
With Power Pack and Thor. And I did a story where Hulk dates Dazzler.
I did a
story for X-Men that was distributed in Taco Bell kids' meals.
That was your choice, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was like, the only way you would do it.
Put it under a burrito. Put it under a Crunchwrap Supreme, I said. And they were like, no problem. Where Marvel will do
it. No one's ever done that before, Mr. Salvin.
And I had a independent series called Detective Honeybear that we did 2 issues of, which is an all-ages mystery. So
I believe it's called Detective Motherfucking Honeybear.
Motherfucking Honeybear!
Yep, for kids.
And Detective Honeybear is when you're at cons, you're still... You have some people coming up and you're still selling those, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, when we went down to Baltimore, I legitimately, honestly expected people to be like, oh, you did Marvel stuff and pick that up. But everybody was way more interested in Detective Honeybear. The guy, Josh Kenfield, who did the art, he made some adorable characters and
it's great. I did a, like a 9-page short that never saw the light of day. I've never put it anywhere. I don't think called Super Quit. About a Batman type character who finally quits doing it, comedy comic. And I will say, with our guy from ages ago, who lived in the Philippines,
John Amor.
John Amore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have not heard from him. I
hope he's doing all right. Love that guy.
Super popular on Webtoon. I'm forgetting the name of the book.
Oh, nice.
But he does a book on Webtoon that is like
he's great, great
crazy popular. Yeah.
Super. Nice
I should post it with a.
You should put it up.
It's great. And then I'm working on something right now that I'm writing. So
whoa! Is this like a script? Is this a comic? What is this?
I can't talk about it now, and it's not for anyone.
Wait, don't be one of those bullshit. You're not in contract, asshole. It's just us. Come on.
I know, but I don't want to put it out there because it's. I'll put it out there when it's ready. Just wait.
Wait. All right. Before you fucking push this under the rug a second, I want to talk to you about this. Can you give us anything about what the idea is? What the classic.
I can't do it right now.
Is it a Western? Is it a comedy?
No, don't push him. Do you like. I don't ever like to talk about ideas in progress, ever.
Yeah, no, I almost didn't say anything now, but
yeah, that's awesome. Excited to see
Michael Tillman. Pete seems like he's panicking.
I'm excited about new information and then upset that I can't get anything from you.
Yeah. All right, why don't we move on to another question? Schreikler says, if superheroes opened independent shops, what would they sell and what would the shops be called? Love a good Schreikler stumper.
Schreikler's always thinking. He's A to C, man, always. Superheroes open into like a bespoke like little store, country store.
I see what they did.
Yeah.
Wolverine would open up a clothing shop called A Cut Above the Rest.
Oh, nice. Boo!
I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do is sell marked down Old Navy fleece vests.
I think Wolverine would. It would be like a. It would be one of these like adorable little shops where you're training security guards in front of banks and bouncers, and just Wolverine's kind of got like a roadhouse situation going. You know what I mean? It's like our first rule. You know what I mean?
I think Spider-Man, Peter Parker, can have a little country shop that sells responsibility.
Do you get something great power with it, or is that separate?
No, you bring great power and you get responsibility. Okay.
With great power, sometimes responsibility will show up.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Why don't we move on? Nat Townsend says, if there were an Oscars that only got comic movies, who would win each category?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Tough year.
this is a tough year. Yeah. Can we say any...
The Wasp, Quantumania for.
But, I mean, what are the comic largest head? Year? Yeah, most Ruds, and there's a lot of Ruds out there.
There are
most Ruds.
What it came out?
Marvels.
Yeah.
Marvels. I think Blade would win best picture.
I mean, Iman Vellani could take an acting award.
Yeah, for sure. The Flash. Could win.
I mean,
best
Heath Ledger
cheer moment, I think.
You know, crimes.
Yeah, most crimes. Great. Derek Maidart says, who's going to win the Eisners?
I think
probably James Tynan.
James Tynan's going to have a big Eisners. Yeah. I mean, I think Tom King's been recognized a lot for like at least one book. I think he'll get something, but James Tynan's, as I've been saying, he's been on an absolute.
Can I mention something? This is not gossipy is the wrong word, but James Tynan announced he has this company, Tiny Onion, that he's launching. He had it for a while, but he officially got some seed funding. It's very much comic book focused. It is not its own comic book publisher. He's looking towards making movies and TV shows and other things. Very cool. Very, very fun announcement. But he has a whole staff behind him now. And he posted, it was like, hey, now that the announcement is out of the way, my staff is making me go up to this cabin. I'm going to spend 2 weeks and bag away at all of the scripts that I'm doing, and I'm going to get them out of the way. And if you follow him on social media, for the past several days, he's been nonstop posting, like, selfies and posts have been, like, getting to work now. And I was like, this is not, I don't work on your staff. Work, dude. Like, if you're in the cabin, stop posting on social media constantly. Come on.
Get off his nuts,
Alex
dude.
Buckling
Get off
down.
His nuts. Yeah. Let him work.
I want to get hired by Tiny Onion to be the guy who yells at James Tynan.
I bet they already have a couple of those.
I don't think that's a job.
Could be. Also, Derek follows up with what happened to Brian Wood, if it's not too awful to ask. I'll just mention it really quickly. So there were a lot of things that came out about what are you putting up right now, Pete, in the middle of this very serious topic?
I'm sorry. It was bad timing.
He got accused of some abusive behavior, particularly some grooming type things that happened at San Diego Comic-Con and other places. There's a lot more into it. You can check it out online. There's been a lot of reports about it. But not great behavior is the thing. And I believe he copped to it as well, though didn't specifically apologize. But for the most part, he went from being a comic superstar to being persona non grata. That's the short version. Derek also asked, can you talk about your experience working for Marvel? It was great. Just honestly, like, really one of the better working experiences. I mean, I will say beyond...
Did you report directly to Jordan D. White, or how did that work?
Well, so Jordan D. White was the editor on some of the stuff. Nate Cosby was the editor on other stuff, who's doing, like, the Disney stuff over Dynamite and other. Both great guys, really great to work with. It was honestly, like, they were very collaborative. They were very...
Well, let's break this down. You send in your story, and what do they reply back? Like, that's garbage. Do it again. Like, what was the response like when you sent in your first script?
It's like a high school football coach.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I'll tell you, there were a couple of different things that happened. The first thing was I kind of floated out to Jordan, like, if I could pitch some stuff by you, could I pitch some stuff by you? And he's like, sure, I could take a look at it, but I don't know if anything will happen. And then after I sent him a bunch of pitches and a couple of ideas, he eventually hit me back and said, hey, we're doing this Hulk team-up book. Do you have pitches for Hulk team-up? So I sent a bunch of pitches.
Wait, so let me back up the truck a little bit here. So you sent pitches and he didn't read any of those. Was like, hey, this guy sent pitches, so at least... You know, he's top of mind.
No, this is what's going on. The same sort of thing as you have to prove yourself. Like, he knew who we were, but I still need to prove that I could do a comic book pitch.
Right.
So it was very much framing in that way. None of that stuff went through.
Do you think he even looked at it, or it was just like?
Yes, I'm sure he looked at it.
Because maybe he just looked at it and said, oh, he did send me some pitches.
He sent me a picture of, like, some paper in a trash basket. I know that, but I think that was unrelated. Anyway, with the Hulk thing, that he was like, hey, can you send, would you be interested in throwing a couple of pitches by me? And I said, absolutely. Sent him a bunch of pitches, and he was like, yes, Hulk dating Dazzler was one of the pitches. Write that. And I wrote that. There honestly were not a lot of notes that I got on it. I think we went through a draft or two, some little tweaks, if I remember.
Did he tell you, like, okay, it's 8 pages or 5 pages?
Yeah, no, there was the page count.
Okay.
But the pitch was just like, here's the story idea. It's a short story. Here we go. Then I got the page count. Then we had to go through the various stages of setting a page by page, which is a short paragraph that breaks it down literally page by page. This was 8 pages. And then from there, fleshing out the script, getting it to the artist, giving notes on the
dialogue. Was the notes like more like stuff where it was like, I like what you're doing here, but too wordy? Or was it like...
No, it was honestly for that one, mostly coming from me.
Do we lose his audio?
Treatment for the series. Like, I sent a whole pitch idea. I think it was a 1 or 2 pager. And Jordan was like, no, this is not what we're looking for. And part of the reason was I said something that was more in line with what they had done previously with Power Pack stuff. It was not, they were looking for something different. They were looking for a little bit of a change. So I thought about it for a little bit. I sent them something different. They were like, great, let's go with this. And so every time it was a process of writing the page by page, setting the script, getting a couple of notes on each, little tweaks here and there. But yeah, it was a pretty smooth process. The biggest, I would say, I didn't mention this one earlier, but the most changes came on the, I think it was 2-page story I did for Squirrel Girl and I Am an Avenger, where that was one, I could probably talk about this now, but that was one where I pitched so many ideas and wrote so many scripts for that. And part of the reason was I was trying to stray true to, at that point, Dan Slott had set this tone for Squirrel Girl of Squirrel Girl always wins. You never see how that happens. And that's how it goes.
Right.
The thing that they wanted me to do was Squirrel Girl is going from where she is in the Great Lakes to New York. So we can get her to the point where she's in a position of being in New York to team up with the Avengers. Iron Man is somewhere in the story because she's going to team up with Iron Man later on. That's all you got.
So it's mainly a travel story about her getting on like a train and going to New York? Well,
so that's the thing is I pitched a bunch of different ideas. Like I wrote, I think, 5 different scripts that I sent the editor there, which was, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name, but it was not Jordan or Nate. And I sent her a bunch of ideas about it. And very rightly, she was like, nope, this is too much the other thing. Find your own thing. And we kept going and kept going with it. We got on the phone. We talked about it, bounced around a bunch
of ideas. Did you feel bad? Were you like, oh, my God, I'm not getting this? And she's like disappointed.
Yeah, it felt awful because I was like, oh, my God, this is a 2-page story. I should be knocking this out of the park. And I absolutely am not. And
were you just like on the phone with her? Like, I went to Cornell. I'm smarter than
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I mentioned Cornell like 5 times.
I'm sure you did.
Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
For the formatting, what did you use to draw from when you were first learning like comic book script format?
So script writing, like because I was comfortable with that, like film script writing. Yeah. I knew how to do that format wise. So that's something I stuck with. But I think the 2 things that I looked at, I don't remember the specific volumes, but there's some volume of some Neil Gaiman book. I think it was maybe a Sandman book or something where he had the script to the back. And there's definitely a Brian Michael Bendis and put like a bunch of his scripts online. So really I looked at those 2 things for formatting just to be like,
were you doing a lot of like fade in star wipe, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. There were a ton of star wipes. No, but legitimately what I found out is there is no comic book formatting. Everybody does absolutely their own thing. So it was mostly me thinking about, what am I comfortable with when I'm writing? And then let me think about what I actually need to do to tweak that so it makes sense for an artist. So
that reminds me of another comic resource from the earlier question. Mark Waid did a ton of blogs like 10 years ago, and they're still online, which are just great top to bottom. And he provides a lot of examples of pitch to proposal to script. And you can definitely find those. And that's a great resource.
Yeah, for sure. This is also from Sharkler. What are some of your favorite non-comic podcasts?
Ooh. Oh, I love the last podcast on the left. You know,
guy Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, yeah. Side Stories, baby.
Great.
There's a bunch of comedian podcasts that I listen to.
Yeah, don't mention what they are. Don't play.
Yeah, that's. So you like comedy? Spoken word comedy.
Interesting. Yeah. I have, to be perfectly honest with you, have not listened to a lot of non-hour podcasts in a very long time, but there was a period where we put out a lot of podcasts and I'm spending a lot of time editing them. I don't get a lot of free time otherwise, but Doughboys is one that I really enjoyed. The food podcast, very, very fun. I listened to Podcast The Ride a little bit from Scott Gardner and other folks. So there you go.
Is that similar to The Ride in New York City?
No, it's sorry, Justin, who worked on The Ride.
Worked on The Ride.
It's every episode they look at a different theme park attraction.
Ah.
It's fun. They're comedians doing that. So it's a good
time. I was one of the original employees of The Ride in New York.
Oh, wow, man. I knew a buddy of mine worked on that.
I listened to Script Notes, the screenwriting podcast, John August and Craig Mazin's podcast. Very good. I like some Ringer podcasts. I listen to The Big Picture and The Watch for TV and film talk. I'll listen to Gabrus's podcast, High and Mighty.
Nice.
That's worth checking out.
Yeah, I got to check that out. I didn't even know Gabrus had a podcast. I mean, I should have assumed.
Yeah, he has
very
a couple.
Popular, yeah.
Yeah, Action Boys is also a great podcast he does where he and 2 other dudes, Ben Rogers and Stanger, review or talk about movies, action movies.
Well, let me ask you, when you listen to Gabrus, do you hope he brings us a story that you're involved in?
I mean, I don't hope. He often does.
I know. I would assume. Yeah. I mean,
We got a question here from Instagram, by the way. Billy Bars Chow says, I feel like the best movie ever to be made would be Expendables. But with all the actors who ever played Batman, who would you hire to direct that movie?
That's a crazy question.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Wait, is it all Batman Expendables?
I don't know. Like, yeah, an all Batman Expendables, who would direct that? So you got Ben Affleck, Christian Bale, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, I guess, George Clooney. Am I missing Michael somebody? Keaton.
Kevin Conroy, rest in peace. You know, maybe the ghost of Kevin Conroy will come back.
Ghost who would direct Batman that?
Would be awesome.
Who would direct that? I don't know. I've got to be a Batman, right?
Yeah, probably. Adam West, the spirit of Adam West.
I would go with Greta, you know. She just did Barbie. I think she'd be perfect for this. Yeah.
Perfect.
She can do it all.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, this is from David Cruz.
Pete, wait, wait.
Yeah.
What's this one?
When's the live show?
Yeah.
Oh, Justin's on it.
I'm on it.
Justin, I'm going to... 30th of April, and then a couple days in May, I'm there till the weekend. Come on, man. Let's great. Do it.
Well, that, you telling me when you're coming is very helpful in figuring out when we're going to do a live show.
All right.
Let me just say, this so is the first August, time I've heard that
information. Or, I'm sorry, April 30th through May 5th, I'm going to be in New York City.
Off camera.
No, we made a promise to an all caps question. We gave an all caps answer.
That's right. I want to be, let's do it.
All right. Last but not least, David Cruz says, Pete, how was it like when you worked on Wife Swap? Specifics, please.
Oh, great. And David Cruz is like, Pete's hey, tell me about the time where TV broke you. And, you know.
And your job was to explain to each of the husband and wife teams, like, what it's like to have sex with a stranger.
Yeah. I guess
you
the
showed them, right? You showed
the
them.
Short answer to this is, all reality television is a lie, and Wife Swap was a glaring example of that. And they treat people awful, and it's not good. And I almost got into a giant accident trying to race people Pizza Hut pizza, so they looked worse than they actually were. And it was just this kind of moment where I kind of was like, what are you doing with your life? And it was really hard because the house I was we were shooting in was so bad. Like, this guy, you know, was this pristine family, and then this family who lived in dirt. And when I say lived in dirt, this guy's job was collecting deer urine to sell to hunters, and his whole...
What do you say collecting deer urine?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like how we collect comics?
He had these troughs outside his house, and he would put, like, food for deer in these troughs, and why they were eating the food, they would go to the bathroom in the trough and he would collect the urine. And so he had all this urine around his house, and it was so dirty, like, that you could see the fleas on the dog just like jumping around. Like, it was, there was a layer of filth that became shelves for things. That's how dirty it was. Like, we tried to have a cleaner come in just to clear a path for, like, cameras and stuff. And, like, the first time the producer walked into the place, it was, you know, you had a mask. He threw up into his mask. This was before masks were a thing. Like, he was just wearing it because it smelled so bad and looked so bad. He didn't want to breathe it in. It was before COVID was even a thing.
This is the answer, kind of answer you get when you say to Pete specifics.
Yeah, don't ask me for details, delivered. Man. Yeah,
he certainly delivered on this.
Yeah, amazing. And just to wrap this up, I wanted to mention, I felt bad not remembering her name. Lauren Sankovich was the editor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we know her.
I Am an Adventurer, who's great, lovely person.
Yeah.
Felt totally bad blanking on her name. So
you should. I'm glad you corrected that.
There we go. All right. Before we wrap up here, what are you looking forward to that's coming out this week? I know. We got to do that. We're jumping ahead of trivia.
Hey, Real quick, guys, while we're talking about things that are not off camera, I would like to just say, listen, for Weekend Geek, I want to get into Night Country, and I hope, Alex, you are all caught up because I'm really ready to fucking fire into you about this.
I just want to tell you, if we're going to talk about this right now, I've only watched through episode 5. I haven't watched the finale yet.
Oh, man.
And fuck
the
you.
Reason
no
is,
way. No way.
Episode 5, I don't know if you remember, there's a scene where the younger dude gives Leah, the daughter of Jodie Foster, a bag of chips.
Oh, yeah.
He gives her some stacks when she's in jail. Mm-hmm. And the bag of chips is Cheetos Flamin' Hot Twists, which were discontinued in 2012 in the United States and only exist internationally. And I was like, you know what? They don't want to be realistic here in the show. I'm out. I'm not watching
wow.
it.
Have you watched only 5 episodes?
I have only watched 5 episodes. I started watching the 6th one. I was falling asleep, but I was like, I need to concentrate. I'm an old man, Pete.
You're falling asleep.
I'm falling asleep. It was late. I was watching it late at night.
I can't believe that you haven't watched that. But great call out.
Oh, man. I really want to get into it with you, and you fucking won't watch.
It's all
right. He doesn't mind spoilers.
Justin, have you seen all of them?
Yes.
Oh. Why was it like a yes?
I guess you'll see in next week's episode of Week in Geek.
Well, anyway, what are you looking forward to that's coming out in comics, Pete?
Oh, well, man, I'm looking forward to Deep Cuts number 5.
That's my pick as well.
Amazon's Attack number 5. Mm-hmm. Green Arrow number 9 and Ice Cream Man number 38.
Woo!
It was a hell of a stack this week.
Pete, scooping them all up. Let me just to talk about Deep Cuts number 5. Deep Cuts is a comic that Kyle Higgins does.
Higgy.
Joe Clark. And it's each issue is a standalone, like, deep dive into sort of a particular, like, angle on music. It's covered a lot of ground, and it's just a great, great comic. There's nothing else like it. Just deep dive, great characters, really specific art, and it feels, and some really deep underpinning ideas to it. It's fantastic. I'll also shout out a couple others that were good. I've been really loving the Flash run that Simon Spurrier's been on.
Oh, Cy Spurs.
It's got a creepy, dark edge to it. It's actually a case. I feel like the Flashes are always like, they're having fun and they never really mess up. And this is just offering some actual mistakes between people and character flaws that I really like seeing. It's a much more nuanced understanding of the character. Very cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in on what Derek Mainhart's saying. Deep Cuts is fantastic, but man, this next issue, you know, because the Zelbatron talks a lot about like portraying music in comic books and how hard it is, but man, this issue does such an unbelievable
job. We'll
see.
We haven't read it yet because it hasn't come out yet, right, Pete?
That's right, but when we do,
it's embargoed until tomorrow, so you can't talk about it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
100%. A couple that I will shout out that I'm looking forward to but have not read yet. / Back to School number 3 from Image Comics by Zoe Thorogood. Love the Thorogood. Great talking to Tim Seeley about it last week as well.
Thorogood. Great at writing comics and drawing them.
Radiant Black still going on with the 2-issue experiment. Very cool. Really enjoying that. And the last one that I wanted to shout out
was Rare Flavors number 4, Ram V's comic, which has also been very interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff. But I actually wanted to shout out the Penguin number Penguin. 7. Man, the last issue, the flashback by Tom King and Stephen Subic, was so good. And I'm really looking forward to
how
they wrap up with that this issue before they push forward.
It's almost like you relate to the Penguin. You know what I mean?
Walk, walk. Why don't we wrap this show up? A couple of people we want to thank. First of all, we want to thank ourselves for doing such an amazing job tonight.
I'll take it easy with
and that. Next week on the show, tying into Amazon's Attack, but more specifically her new book, I Heart Skull Crusher from Oni Press, we're going to be talking to Josie Campbell. Boom Studios. Coming out. Very excited to have her on the show. Yeah. Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast coming out 5 days a week. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, coming out weekly. We just talked about Madam Web. So check that out. Sons of a Gun, our DC podcast. We're going to talk about Aquaman 2, I think, now that it's on Max. So excited about that.
Yeah, we are.
Sort of. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
For Trivia King, Pace Pop Pete, this is White Kryptonite. We're out.
Take care of yourself out there. Occasionally, they let that special guest speak. So grab your grip.